Ramsey TV.
Here it is, the end of the week already, and I haven't told you or reminded you about the Rodney Parris video that came out on Sunday. It's a very important message, lots of spiritual meat there. It's a talk I gave in Fairview, South Carolina in 1996 concerning Christ meeting our two greatest needs. We are not only sinners, but we are enemies of God. And Christ accomplished two acts on the cross. He justified us and he conciliated us to God. He justified us as Christ. He conciliated us as the Son. We're justified through his sufferings. We're conciliated through his death. It's all very nuanced, very exact language in Romans chapter 5. So I definitely want you to check that out. I'll have my sister Kelly link that video below. I know she puts it there on Mondays automatically, but I forgot to mention anything about it, and it's coming to mind. It's a really spectacular message. It glorifies Christ, and it gives all glory to him, and it explains what he did for our sake. So check that out. Today, this is Martin Zender. Hello, everybody. Always great to be with you. Today, I want to kind of play off the theme that I left off with yesterday about this competency that we have, that it's of God and not of us. And I want to talk about, again, the two groups of people, the group of people that we repel and the group of people that we attract. No credit to us. We're just walking around minding our own business most of the time. Except for me. I don't really mind my own business. I actively teach these things. And this job is so spectacular. It's so weighty. And it's so of God that I sometimes have to withdraw from it, pretend it's not happening. So wonderful is it that I can't take the weight of it. The weight of the glory. The weight of the glory. Maybe you feel this way too. So maybe what I'm going to say now will help you. But just being a member of the body of Christ is so astounding that God has chosen us. And as I said yesterday, that we are actually manifesting the odor of his knowledge in every place. And we are the continental divide, if you will, to people. They either fall to the left of us or to the right of us. They rise and they fall, as those in Israel rose and fall when Christ stood in their midst. This is astounding that God is manifesting himself to other people through you. And so I feel the weight of this, as I'm sure you do. And sometimes I'm still in a human frame. And I start to feel the edges of the glory creeping up on me. And my human frame starts to rebel against it. My human frame can't handle it. Well, this is why we need changed. We need new bodies to be able to carry the freight of glory, to be able to sustain the glory. Because again, I just get hints of it every now and then. And I have to withdraw. I have to watch the Three Stooges, or I have to smoke a cigarette, or I have to do something to pretend it's not happening, because I can't handle it. I can't take it sometimes. And you do the same thing. Whatever you do that kind of gets your mind off things, whether you play video games or you go out and have a drink with your friends or you watch TV, watch a football game. It's just, we have to do something now and then to deflect, to defer it, because it's too wonderful for us, because we know that it's not of us, and yet here it is sitting on us. As I said yesterday, for this, who is competent? Let me share with you along that line of verse, 2 Corinthians 3. This really goes along with yesterday's passage. You are our letter. I'm in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. Engraven in our hearts, known and read by all humans. There you go. known and read by all humans. All humans are reading you, and one way or another, they know you, though you speak not a word. It's even more profound when you speak a word. That just ups the ante. That just turns up the volume when you're actually speaking a word. But you don't even have to speak a word for this to be true. You are our letter, engraven in our hearts, known and read by all humans, for you are manifesting a letter of Christ. That goes along with the message yesterday, manifesting the odor of the knowledge of Christ, dispensed by us. That is, the letter of Christ was dispensed by us, Paul says. Me and the other teachers, we told you about this, and engraven not with ink. The words came in ink, but they're not engraven in ink, so to speak, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, referring to the law, but on the fleshly tablets of the heart. Now, such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. I'm going to finish that sentence in a moment, but this is the exact wording from yesterday. The odor of the knowledge of Christ comes through us and it goes toward God, like the sweet savor offerings of Israel. Comes forth from us, goes to God, but again, like I said yesterday, other people get in the way. Other people sense it as it wafts off of us and goes toward God. Now, such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to reckon anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God, who also makes us competent dispensers. Any competency I have as a dispenser of the word, any competency you have, is of God, who makes us competent dispensers. Makes us. That's an active word. Doesn't allow us to be competent dispensers. He makes us into competent dispensers. And for this, who is competent? Yeah. Full circle. Back to me? You're doing this with me? You have to excuse me while I watch a few episodes of The Three Stooges. I'm not sure I can handle this. God understands. Again, that's why, you know, I love to think of things so practically. It's like, why do we need new bodies? Because these bodies cannot handle the glory. And we just get a hint of the glory and we almost rebel against it. I do. I love it when people tell me, oh, your work, your book, your message changed my life. I've told you many times, I love to hear that. I need to hear it. But it's like I can't hear a lot of it, or it just, I can't handle it. Can't handle it. I need to hear it, but then quickly move on because I'm not able to contain the glory of what's happening with me. And it's the same with the glory that is happening with you. So don't think that some strange thing is happening with you when you have to withdraw from it. You have to do something mindless. Or you even react in a negative way because the glory is wearing on you. I'm telling you, you're acting this way because you're getting a hint of the glory. And it would threaten to destroy you unless you did something stupid, like to counteract it. I have to do something stupid. I have to smoke a cigarette or something just to counteract this thing that's creeping up on me, knowing I'm a member of the body of Christ and that I have an allotment of glory. It's phenomenal. Of course, God has many ways of keeping us humble. Can't just try to tell somebody about these things. That'll keep you humble. I made a film several years ago called Psycho Boy. I'll go ahead and link it down here in case you haven't seen it. It's one of the old Crack of Dawn reports. I think I made it in 2012. 12. It's about how some people react to the truths that we have. Again, this happens even when we don't speak them. But when we do speak them, it's kind of like a bomb going off. Along that line, Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Paul says, don't be startled by those who are opposing in anything, which is to them a proof of destruction, yet of your salvation, and this from God. Now that's loaded. I want to get down to verse 29 and of course verse 30, which ends chapter 1. But check this out. It's tempting to be startled, like my friend who told me of her friend who didn't even tell her that her grandchild was born, and she was tempted to be startled by that. And she felt like she was being opposed, spiritually opposed. And she texted me and asked me about it. Am I being spiritually opposed? I would be able to take this better if I knew I was being spiritually opposed, but I'm just not sure that I'm suffering for Christ. I said, make no mistake. You are suffering for Christ, because the odor of his knowledge is manifesting through you as it goes toward God. And they're picking it up and they hate it. And it's passive aggression. Oh yeah, you're suffering evil for the evangel. Well, how am I suffering evil for the evangel? She asked, because in her mind, she's not actively heralding the evangel. The evangel is knowledge. And the passage I read you yesterday is the knowledge of Christ that is in us, that is manifesting itself through us as it goes toward God in every place. And people are reacting to it. To some people, it stinks. It's the odor of death. That just proves that they're going into death. How can the beauty of the knowledge you have of the grace of God smell like death to some people? Yeah, weird, right? How can the Messiah, the Son of God, cause people to want to kill him? He was meek. He was gentle. He came to save the nation. And they killed him. How could that happen? Okay, well, that same thing's happening to you. Yeah, it's the same thing. And yet, at the same time, other people like being around you. There's something about you. What is it? What is it about you? I'll tell you what it is. It's the knowledge of Christ that you have. But it's tempted again to be startled by the opposition. Because what did I do? What did I do? You didn't do anything. It's to them. This is Paul speaking in verse 28 of Philippians chapter 1. To them, it's proof of destruction, yet of your salvation. If you need more proof of your salvation, it's that people don't really like you. They don't like being around you. You irritate them. Especially when you bring up God, but you don't even have to. And here's that litmus test again. Here's that continental divide where to them it's proof. Their rejection of you is proof of destruction, yet of your salvation. And this is from God. Again, you're not competent to be this. This is all of God. God's doing this with you. For to you, verse 29, it is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. So when Paul says not only to be believing on him, this corresponds with verse 28, it's proof of your salvation. So the salvation here is related to believing in Christ. Therefore, the destruction spoken of in verse 28 is related to those who don't believe in Christ. The destruction here is aeonian destruction. These people are not members of the body of Christ who are opposing you. Verse 29, for to you it is graciously granted. I told my friend this. It's graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake. Suffering. Goes back to the message 2 days ago. The contrast of the cross of Christ. Joy and the cross, how can these two words appear together in the same sentence? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. How can these two words appear together in the same sentence? It's the necessary contrast. It's the cross that produces the joy. It's the opposition that produces the persecution, that produces the salvation, that sweetens the pot, that increases your glory. Goes back to Romans 8:18. For the suffering of the current era is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is about to be revealed in us and for us. If you want one verse to disprove human free will, here it is, really. For to you it is graciously granted for Christ's sake not only to be believing on him. Stop right there. It is graciously granted you to be believing. There it is. Isn't that what the Christians say everybody has to do or else they go to hell? Believe in Christ or go to hell? How does anybody believe in Christ? They can't unless it's graciously granted them. Ephesians 2:8-9. For in grace through faith are you saved. And this, that is the faith, this is not out of you. It is God's approach presence, not of works. It's God's approach present. God's present is the faith. Corroborated here in Philippians 1:29, graciously granted to be believing on him. It's a gift. And just as the belief is a gift, so also is the suffering. For it is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. And when you're opposed, you suffer. And I'm telling you, it's proof. These are Paul's words, not mine. Proof. That word's in the context. Philippians 1:28. A proof of their destruction. Aeonian destruction. They're still saved at the consummation, of course, but yeah. See you at the great white throne. Yet of your salvation. It's proof. You stand for something because you know things. You know supernatural things. You're taught things by me or by someone else or by reading the scriptures. And it's this knowledge that people hate. It's this knowledge that they oppose. And this is proof that you're of God, and it's proof that they're of the synagogue of Satan. And then Paul says this, and I'll end with this, line 30. Philippians chapter 1, having the same struggle, such as you are perceiving in me and now are hearing to be in me. What? The same struggle as Paul? This was a guy that was beaten with rods in the city of the people he's writing to, the Philippians, and was put in an inner jail, his feet locked in stocks, and then was the victim of an earthquake. This guy, we have the same struggle as Paul. That's very gracious of Paul to say that, because our struggles, what are they compared to Paul being beaten by the Jews 5 times, beaten with rods, one of them in Philippi, shipwrecked, in dangers everywhere from his countrymen. And yet Paul graciously tells the Philippians, hey, don't sell yourselves short, folks. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Paul says, you're having the same struggle as you are perceiving in me and now are hearing to be in me. How would that have made the Philippians feel? I would say pretty good. Wow, Paul is putting them on par with him, the great apostle, who is suffering to the extremities. Not to the extremity of Christ, but he's shedding blood for the sake of the evangel. We may not have shed blood, but our nerves are racked. We cry at night in our beds. We're discouraged. We're forlorn. We're not believed. We're despised. We're opposed, to use Paul's word here. Well, take heart. Because not only is that proof of the aeonian destruction of those who are opposing you, but it's proof of your salvation. And this is from God, who is graciously granting it to you.